welcome to Sweet Release. This is Sarah, and I'm here with my co-host, Satsi, Amelia. And we're going to be talking about the synastry between Elon Musk and Johnny Depp.
Yeah, you heard that right.
If they were in a relationship, how would they interact with each other? There's just a lot going on with them.
I feel like they're both used to being in power. And so I think that would, like, play into it. And I also think Elon's a lot more direct, like, a lot more, like, fiery in his communication style. This is just without looking at the chart. I don't think it's a love match, honestly, but they did marry the same woman.
Yeah, they were intermingled with the same woman at the same time. So that gets me thinking, like, what would they be like together? I think Elon Musk has, like, a little bit of that Amber Heard craziness within him.
The so psychotic does Johnny woman. Depp. Are you kidding?
Yeah, for sure, Johnny Depp. I mean, they're all crazy. Like, Johnny Depp has, like, a different level of, like, insanity, though, because I think his is more artistic and, like, he wants to express that through, like, pleasure and sex and desire, whereas Elon and Amber are a little bit more, like, destructive with it. Like, they don't really care to produce anything from that. Like, Johnny Depp wants to produce some sort of artwork, even though they're both equally destructive. I mean, all three of these people, in my opinion, like, work through Kali in a way, because they're both, like, thriving in chaos.
But we need to focus on the synastry between Elon and Johnny Depp.
I think Elon is, like, obsessed or jealous of Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I think Johnny is definitely the more feminine one. Like, I feel like he'd be, like, acting like a woman. Not that there needs to be a woman in a homosexual relationship, let me just say that. But I think he would be like, Elon, like, I don't just understand why you were acting like that to me. Like, I just need some affection. And Elon would be like, oh my god, like, always with the drama. Like, I'm trying to build a tunnel.
Yeah, Johnny would be, like, the receptive one, and Elon would be, like, the giving one. But, yeah, I think Elon Musk was, like, a little bit jealous of Johnny Depp's little fame that he's getting right now. So Elon needed to, like, announce that he's buying Twitter and, like, make a little, like, you know what I mean?
Do you really think so?
I think their synastry runs deep. Like, I think it's deeper than what we think. I wonder if they've ever had, like, dinner together.
Well, you know how, like, you are gonna stalk your, like, partner's former partners to some extent?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a billionaire, you're, like, running a case, I'm sure. Like, if you had access to that information, I mean, I don't think but I'm not, like, in a position to ever be a billionaire, but I think, like, someone with Elon's intensity, Elon's love language is research.
Yeah, and knowing, like, how to, like, appease a person.
Yeah, remember when he said he was gonna fix the Flint, Michigan water crisis? And then instead of fixing it, he bought water filters for 12 schools.
Yeah, and then he said that he was going to, like, fix world hunger or something. So the UN, like, devised a plan for him, and he, like, literally didn't do anything about it.
He's kind of like my dad.
Empty promises, Elon.
Yeah, but you know when he makes these promises, he, like, wants them to be true. You know, like, he wants to be the kind of man who steps up and who's there. But instead he has, like, six wives and he owns Twitter.
Yeah, he, like, I feel like he should have some self-awareness, though, but it doesn't, like, seem to be all the way there. Like, his perspective is a little bit abstracted because of how much he knows in a way, or because of how, like, intelligent he feels that he is, that he has to, like, perform in certain ways. I think he's incredibly, like, multifaceted, though, like, in his own personality. Like, I feel like he listens. He's the type of person that has, like, a different, like, genre of song every single time you hit shuffle type of thing.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting compared to other billionaires, let's say Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon is very much, like, active with the people. And it's sort of a relationship where, like, everyone hates him, you know, or scorns him or wants him to do something. And he, like, continues to bait that, you know, like buying mm-hmm. Twitter, for example, like, which is sort of, like, the main line that everyone has to communicate with him. He's like, okay, let me just buy this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems like he is, I don't know, just, like, one of those guys that, like, always gets what they want sort of thing.
I feel like Johnny Depp is, like, Lil Huddy. You know, like, he has all his rings, and he's, like, I just think celebrity culture and, like, wealthy people in general in this country are really obsessed with appearing edgy, appearing to have, like, a darkness, like, a hidden side, a mysterious side, like, a troubled side, but I think largely that identity is canceled out by having, like, a disposable income. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Really?
What do you mean a disposable income? Like, it kind of, it's like a facade almost, or?
I don't mean to sound, like, not compassionate for the problems of rich people. Like, exorbitantly rich people. I don't mean to seem like I'm not, like, here for them and their issues. Because, of course, everyone suffers. And, like, one might even argue that everyone suffers the same amount. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't argue that, but one might argue that. But, I don't know. I feel like every time I have had, like, one-on-one time with someone who is in, like, the 1%, which, I mean, doesn't happen that often, folks, but, like, every time I've been in that situation, it's been a guy trying to, like, convince me that his life wasn't, like, all that, you know? Like, he'd be yeah. like, you know, like, my parents did get divorced. And, like, yeah, that's real, but, like, why are you telling me, you know?
Yeah, I feel like some people, a parent's divorce is, like, the least of their problems, or, you know, I mean, suffering doesn't have to be a specific thing. It's everything, honestly. But, like, everything is suffering, if you think about it. Like, just being in a body is suffering. Having to experience having to breathe is hard work.
I think we have a biological imperative to sort of put off anything that makes us uncomfortable. Like, it comes from animal times, you know? Like, if something hurts, like, something's wrong with you and you need to fix it ASAP or you'll die. That sort of attitude. Like, if you're hungry, you need to eat. If you're tired, you need to sleep. If you're bored, you need to leave.
Yeah.
And I think being cognizant of that pattern and breaking out of it is super helpful. And, like, approaching negative sensations with curiosity.
Mm-hmm. I think Johnny Depp has had a lot of counselors in his life. I don't know if that's true. I don't really know anything about Johnny Depp's life. I'm just looking at his chart. I think he's had, like, a lot of, like, people, like, older people kind of, like, help him and stuff. Whereas Elon Musk was just kind of, like, the little kid in his room that was given a PlayStation and some tools and kind of, like, left alone for a while. Whereas Johnny Depp had this more, like, expansive worldview because of the older people around him. Whereas Elon Musk is a little bit more, like, stuck in his own immaturity because of the childhood that he kind of wasted away in some ways.
I think, from what I know about Johnny Depp, he has a mother wound.
Oh, definitely. Capricorn moon conjunct the South Node.
Really?
Yeah. Capricorn's moons always kind of have, like, a cold-hearted mother in a way. Not cold-hearted, but they're either, like, extremely goal-orientated or they are, like, pushing pressure on you to be goal-orientated or something like that. I mean, traditionally, the moon is debilitated in Capricorn, so that's what the ancients would say.
I feel like a visualization for the Capricorn moon is, like, when you're cooking rice in a pot and it's out of water. And it's, like, steaming and it has the holes in it, you know?
Yeah. Or it's, like, the toast the toasted part of bread that kind of just like falls off.
What do you mean, the crust?
Like, you know, like the part of the toast that's burnt and you have to get your knife and like scrape it off. I feel like that's what it's like to be a Capricorn moon. Like constantly kind of cleansing yourself because you feel dry and flaky.
Well, that's how I feel.
You feel dry and flaky?
Yeah, often. I don't like, I do a lot of like BHA treatments and then I don't like remove the dead skin properly afterwards, and so when I put on lotion it just like sits on my face and it doesn't absorb.
Is your skin dry?
I have a very mixed dosha, like more than anybody I know. Like I have like some parts of my face is hot and oily, some parts is dry and scaly.
Yeah, when I was getting my yoga certification and I did the whole like dosha pitta vata kapha thing, I did the whole test and like got examined and everything, and they were like, you're a perfect mixture of all three.
I can see that for you.
Yeah, so my diet kind of varies, my skin kind of varies.
Do you run cold? Like, do you have cold hands? Yeah, you do have cold hands.
Yeah, I do. Cold feet, mostly.
Do you think, okay, if you took a kindergartner aside and you were like, don't tell the others this because it's going to make them feel bad, don't tell anyone this, but you are extremely gifted and important and you are the most special kid in this class, and I just want you to know, but don't tell anyone. And you, like, reinforce that behavior, reinforce that attitude over the years. Do you think you would breed an Elon Musk?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Because you would have to kind of, like, have another variable to do that with, like, to not do that thing, and then make sure that they go through the same life experiences and stuff like that. And you know, there's just so much that can happen in that kid's life where like things can change. But I do think, so if then, you give a
kindergartner number two, you really like talk down to them and demean them throughout their life, tell them they're not special, like they're not like anything, and then you have a Johnny Depp. And then phase two of the experiment is you introduce a woman who is as crazy as she is beautiful. And you
yeah. I don't know. I guess that's kind of like facts though. Like Johnny Depp might have never been told that he was special and worthy and loved, whereas Elon was just kind of given that luxury his entire life.
You know what concerns me about the Amber Heard case at large? I feel like men, I can just see this happening, is men like using this case as an example of like why assault isn't real, or why abuse isn't real, or like why allegations can be, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like they're using it to fuel their misogynistic perspectives.
I think it was, I mean, he went to court to, like, with the intention of revitalizing his identity, but it's just such a scathing process, you know?
Yeah, I don't really have a lot of words to say about that, because I feel like I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. Like, I can't have an opinion on it because I didn't see it with my own eyes. I don't even know if it even happened. Like, all I know is, like, I'm talking to Satsi right now, and I'm in this room. I don't know if the Amber Heard case is even real. Like, I think, yeah, it's just, it's a lot. But I think it's interesting how, like, that archetype of the tyrannic woman, or the woman who is kind of, like, insane and crazy and, like, poops on people's beds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I love how that's, like, a thing right now.
Honestly, if Johnny Depp wants to marry you, You just have to keep it together and, you know, keep the crazy down, take a hot yoga class, get a really good therapist, and you're just spending the rest of your life, like, living in paradise, essentially. Like, you know, living in some, like, private mansion, sitting in the hammock, eating kiwis. Like, you have everything you need, theoretically. But when people have karma, they have karma. You know, you cannot escape your karma. Like, there's some, like, darkness or anger or hatred, like, something raw, like, and you just, like, have to unleash it. You know, you have to chop his finger off and shit in his bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. She's just on a different level of emotional kind of imbalance. I don't even know, though. Like, it seems that way. It appears that way, allegedly. She's kind of, like, a little bit off her rocker. But I think it's kind of admiring in a way. Not really admiring, but it's more of, like, interesting how she's able to kind of, like, get those feelings out of her. Like, I would never have the energy to go that hard for a man. Like,
I feel like, okay, and again, like, nothing is real, and we're basically discussing fictional people mm-hmm. who we'll never meet. Or, I don't know about that. But if she pulled that shit with Elon, like, shit in his bed, I feel like he would just laugh.
Yeah, I feel like no one would know about it because he wouldn't take it seriously.
I mean, I'm sure there was, like, yeah. What do you think about him publicizing the algorithm
of Twitter?
Mm-hmm. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't see that.
Twitter is very intellectual. It always has been, I think, being tech-based or text-based. And I was talking to someone about it, and apparently Jack Dunst or whoever coded it was, like, a creative programmer, and I think the earliest Twitter users were also creative programmers. I don't have a lot of context on that information, but, you know, it's where you go to get opinions, it's where you go to get facts, it's where you go to get news. But honestly, I think the algorithm is pretty easy to figure out. I mean, like, with TikTok, which is the most, I mean, the word algorithm wasn't, like, a commonly known word until TikTok, I'm pretty sure. But with TikTok, it's, like, 25% ratio of likes to views. And I think as long as you stay in those lines, it appears on the For You page. And then it also is a bonus if people are commenting a lot, like, if you start a debate, if you say something controversial, or if people are rewatching it multiple times, like, you have multiple people on the screen, or you're showing them how to do something specific, like, all of that boosts it. And Instagram is similar from what I've seen. Like, it's just, like, the amount of view time your post gets. And then I think Twitter is retweets.
Yeah, that would make sense, because then more people would see it. But also Twitter is kind of interesting because sometimes, like, I don't follow people, but, like, I'll go and look at their page and just to, like, see what they're up to. Like, famous people, not, like, actual people. And over time, like, my feed would, like, become stuff that they would see. And I'm not even following them.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, if I'm checking, like, crypto markets and stuff, and, like, I go and check, like, what people who are in the crypto field are doing, and, like, I'll continuously get, like, crypto retweets and stuff like that.
Oh my god, I bought at the wrong time. Wait, let me look at that. I feel so dumb about it. I knew it was gonna be, like, a quick pump, and so I didn't set, like, a limit, and I ended up actually, I'm looking at it now. It's okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I feel like you're fine. Because you bought, like, when it was at, like, 2, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the best time to buy ETH. Anytime it's below, like, 2.5, like, just scoop a couple up because it goes to 4K in, like, the next couple of weeks.
But Bitcoin to me is like Internet Explorer.
Is a what?
It's like Internet Explorer. It's like Microsoft. It's like Intel. You know, it'll like always be that first. It'll always be that giant. But like Ethereum is just more efficient. It's more connected to the future. It's sexy.
Yeah. ETH is like, I don't know. It's just like more efficient, like you said. I don't know.
I mean, the way it works, I can explain this for those who are interested. Imagine like there's two rooms, you know, and in order for a new block on the blockchain to form, a certain number of users need to make purchases. And these numbers are completely off. I'm just like making them up. But imagine like 1,000 people have to purchase Bitcoin and make transactions with Bitcoin in order for them to move into the new room and for that block to be formed. Whereas with Ethereum, it's like 5 users.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big difference that I know of in that sense. And I think it's also closer to being carbon neutral. Okay, that argument, when people say like NFTs are so bad for the environment, crypto is so bad for the environment, it's like not. And like, I think early on that was a valid claim, but at this point there are completely carbon neutral coins. And I mean, back when everyone was on horses and they invented the car, were people saying, oh, the car is bad for the environment, like, you can't get one?
I wonder if there were actually people that were like, this seems to be polluting the air.
Yeah, I mean, they were right.
Yeah. But NFTs are actually a little bit bad for the environment. I do have to agree with the people because NFTs consume so much like electricity, basically. Yeah.
Well, I think with that, the market and like the industry is a lot bigger than people make it out to be. Like, you have Bored Apes and you have like profile pic projects that are like, you know, hugely wasteful, like really based in this like consumerist mindset, just like all about a big like pump and dump. But I was introduced to Hik A Nunk probably in like early 2021, and I follow a lot of creators who work with that platform, and it's based in Tezos, which is like a carbon neutral coin. Like, it just like doesn't burn. I don't really know how to explain what that means, but I see like a lot of amazing artwork, like a lot of like really creative people who make their livings off of that coin and that platform, and they're not making like $1 million a day, you know. It's just like a reasonable income, but like, I think it's a really nice bonus. Like, when I sell a commission, instead of just being like, oh, here's like a piece of paper, I can also be like, and let me just like give you the NFT of this, you know.
Yeah, and you can, I think there's going to be a time where NFTs are going to be so incorporated into social media where it's like you have your own sort of gallery type thing, and then people can like check out who you are, who you support through your NFTs, and you can always just sell them when you don't want them anymore, if you don't agree with it or if you're over it. Like, NFTs and that sort of digital currency space is going to be so integrated with social media, especially in 2024 and 2025. And it's just going to be easier to like see like who people are, like what people are about, because there's this whole like component of social media that I feel is missing, and that has to do with the personality of a person. Like, okay, you can see the personality of a person pretty easily through their social media account, but it's also like there, it's like deeper when you put your money into it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you really like something if you're willing to spend money on it.
Their avatar.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that component has been like a missing piece of the equation for a long time. Like, you know, like Club Penguin, except it's real money. Do you know what I mean? I like was spending real money on Club Penguin. Like, do you remember? Like, I would like, my mom would put like $10 in my account, and I would get like a purse, and like I'd get like hair, you know?
I think there's going to be a time where, like, you can actually make social media money. Like, you can make money on social media.
No.
But with, like... But, like, you don't have to be, like, an influencer. You don't have to, like, be selling anything. Like, you can just play little games or, like, make ads or, like, create some sort of energy thing, like, really easily. Because making money right now is so hard and spending money right now is so easy. Like, there needs to be a balance here, and that just means to make money more easily. Like, to make that more available for people who, you know...
If you go out, like, if you are pursuing, like, a real-life adult, like, experience, it's gonna cost you, like, a day's worth of money, at least. Maybe yeah. 2 days' worth of money. And, like, why would I do that if I could pay to, like, go with my avatar to, like, the virtual club and see my friends?
Mm-hmm. The virtual club. The meta club.
Yeah.
What does it mean when someone says, oh, that's so meta? Does that just mean, like, futuristic?
Let's look it up.
You've heard people say that before, right?
Yeah. Meta adjective. Of a creative work referring to itself or the conventions of its genre, semicolon, self-referential. I think, yeah, I mean, generally, like, self-aware, like, folding in on itself.
So, like, a piece of artwork that represented some sort of meme or modern time or something would be, like, meta?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really want to know if they've, like, talked or spoken, just out of curiosity.
Oh my god, about Amber?
Yeah, like, if they've ever had that type of talk with each other.
She's like, how does my pussy taste? Sorry, that's crude.
They're Eskimo brothers.
I feel like they have, honestly. I feel like he's reached out. Johnny's reached out looking for emotional support. And Elon has been like, I'm there for you, but I'm not really.
Yeah, he's like, I have my own thing going on and I don't really care that much, but let me offer you some words of wisdom. But they're not really wise.
Should we talk about the Great Awakening?
Yeah.
So, in the 1800s, there were two Great Awakenings of Catholicism, I think, where people in America, like, early America, became, like, super pious and righteous. And I think we're entering into one of those again in a different way.
Jesus is cool again. Well, Jesus has always been kind of cool, like, in my opinion.
Yeah, but he wasn't in.
I think the idea of Jesus is cool.
Virtue as a commodity is sort of grotesque to me. Like, creating, like, a whole spectacle and, like... I mean, that's meta if you think about it, but, you know, like... creating a brand out of one's virtue. I'm thinking of like I was following this meme account for a while that was called I Need God in Every Moment of My Life, and it sort of seemed like an offshoot of praying, like that meme account, just like sort of posting about Jesus and stuff, but in a way that was sort of like ironic. Like mm-hmm. It was like you can't tell if they're being serious or not. And then, you know, they like inevitably launch a clothing line, and it's like very like skinny, like prepubescent, like white girls wearing like ABTs that say God's favorite in plastic rhinestones, and like a picture of an angel from Tumblr with like text that reads like I'm like too hot for God, like stuff like that. And like I feel like I'm into it, like I smell the vibe, you know, but also not really.
Yeah, I think like the Catholic schoolgirl thing is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, chill, we get it.
Yeah, you're 25.
But I like the sacred idea of having a god to worship and like that sort of Catholic way. Like, it's beautiful. Like, the Mary Magdalene of it all.
Yeah, Mary Magdalene is a special one.
Yeah.
I mean, the Catholic art and the Catholic imagery is so strong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so really provokes the emotions. Buddhists, definitely, there's definitely, like, wrathful stories and wrathful deities in Buddhism, but it's a lot more, like, you know, it's about dissolving. It's very chill. Whereas Catholicism seems almost Freudian, you know? It's like, I am your father.
Yeah, like, accept me or die.
Or you're a little slut, you know?
You're my... God just saying to you in a dream, you're my little slut.
Yeah.
I saw this one poster when I was driving today on the freeway, and it was, like, Jesus or hell.
No, people, that is really interesting to me. I don't know any other religion that acts like that. I mean, don't you get comments on your posts that's people being like, Jesus loves you?
Yeah, a lot.
I mean, I've gotten hundreds of those, if not thousands, and, like, people are just, like, out there, like, writing that. You know?
Mm-hmm. I feel like you have to have so much conviction in your faith to do that, that it's almost kind of, like, embarrassing.
Well, it feels sort of condescending, even though I'm sure it's true, and, like, they, like, mean it from a good way, but it's, like, you need to, like, tell me that I'm loved. Like, you think I don't know that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, go seek Jesus, and it's, like, I'm already him. Like,
but then also people, like, stand on the side of the road with posters that are like, he has risen, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure there was a time in their life where they have to, like, come to that conclusion that that's what they're gonna do with themselves, but, like, there's, like, a tipping point, you know what I mean? Like, what was the tipping point for them? Like, what made them want to stand outside and start putting posters everywhere? Maybe they've seen a ghost, or maybe they saw God himself, even though I think in order to see God, you have to, like, die or something.
No, Sarah, God is everywhere.
Well, yeah, but, like, the actual form of God.
Well, I mean, does they have one? I will say, though, like, I don't want to, like, harp on people who have made Jesus their message, because I think that's better than what a lot of people are doing. Like, I think anything that is done with an altruistic mindset, like, with a desire to benefit others, is worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it offers nice community, like, besides the altar boy stuff.
Yeah, I know a bunch of people who probably would be so different if they didn't grow up in, like, a Catholic household, or, like, you know, it offers some discipline and humility, and it gives them some sort of sense of life or some sort of meaning that they can find. And also, it does offer, like, friendship and stuff like that, because other people, like, have the same sort of goal. Like, there's a culture, the Christian culture, if you will.
Did you grow up in a church?
I did.
Yeah, what was that like?
Like, I grew up going to Sunday church and then Wednesday, like, youth group. And then I did, like, I went to private school until high school for, like, Catholicism and Christianity. And I honestly, like, really hated it. Like, I just did not vibe with it, because I knew that there was more to it. And they were, like, trying to box me into this mindset of, like, God is the only one, you know? And I would be like, well, then what about all of these Hindu gods? Because I would see them when we'd go to, like, our friend's house, like, all of the Hindu gods that they had around. And it's like, I find Jesus in that, you know? Like, I find God in that, too. Like, what's the difference? And they would, like, reprimand me, like, in front of people, like, several times. Like, I was always the one to get kind of, like, yelled at.
Wait, so was I. I was a godless child.
Yeah, same. I I feel like they thought that there was, like, a demon in me. Like, that's what one of them said one time. Like, a pastor. Is really? Like, are you? Yeah. And they're, like, they pulled me aside in class one time. And they're, like, Sarah, are you okay? Like, how's your relationship with God? And all of this type of stuff. And I was, like, talking to them. And then at the end of the conversation, they're, like, we've done exorcisms before. And I was, like, whoa. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was, like, in sixth grade.
Oh, that's crazy. You should write about that.
I don't know what they saw in me to say that. I mean, like, maybe I did have something or whatever, but I don't think that. I think that they just wanted to single me out and, like, try to, like, make me more God, like, have more God in my life, or, like, to be more Christian or to read my Bible more, because I obviously didn't read my Bible that much unless I was in Bible class or something.
Those stories are really great. Like, it was such a wretched time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the story where God tells the guy, he's like, you have to kill your son if you love me. And he's like, really? And God is like, yeah. So he says, okay, God. And he takes his son and, like, brings him up to the mountain. And the son's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm gonna kill you. And then he's, like, crying, and he takes the knife, and then God is like, wait, I was just kidding.
Yeah, he sees the burning bush. But that's also when Abraham sees, like, after that, God was like, I will allow you to look at me. And he saw, like, God's back. That's what I'm talking about. Like, and he was, like, enlightened because of that. Or, like, he knew what he had to do. He had so much foresight because he was blessed with the presence of God and being able to see him in his, like, own eyes, like, while he's alive walking this earth.
My advice. And his wife. Sorry. But my advice for anyone who's, like, trying to find their path in spirituality and religion, I would just go with the best teacher that's available to you, because, like, there are going to be, like, amazing Christian priests who are, like, truly, like, devout and enlightened. There are going to be, like, you know, every religion has good teachers and bad teachers. Like, it's not like Buddhism is exempt from scandals, you know? Like, of course there have been, like, scandals in, like, the Buddhist communities, and, like, I mean, that's how I was when I was in school. Like, I would take any class. Just, like, I wanted the good teachers, you know?
Yeah. No, I feel that. I think it's important to have, like, a variety of religious influences within you, just because it kind of, like, expands who you are, like, as a person. Because you get to, like, find yourself and how you interact with, like, that different type of energy.
Yeah, seeing what resonates with you.
Because it could be Christianity, or it could be, like, Mormonism or something. Like, what if you just really vibe with being a Mormon?
Yeah, I mean, those sodas look pretty good.
Sodas?
They have, like, I think they refrain from drinking coffee in the Mormon community because, you know, it's sort of like a stimulant. Mm-hmm. And so because of this, they're addicted to sugar oftentimes. And they have these soda shops where you get these, like, fountain drinks that have, like, creamer and gummy worms and whipped cream and, like, blue raspberry flavor, and it's, like, this whole spectacle, and, like, the line goes around the block. Like, they're really hype on them. I mean, it sounds really good.
Yeah, that sounds so good.
Do you think you would talk about the astrological background for the Great Awakening, or, like, the spiritual revival, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, I kind of spoke about this on my TikTok and a lot on my Twitter, where I was just talking about how every single time that Jupiter, the planet of expansion and growth and religion and priestlyhood, enters the sign of Pisces, which is, like, the savior, the sacrifice, the rebirth process, you know, because Pisces is also, like, the end of the zodiac, so there's this connotation towards endings and sorrow in a way. It always coincides with some sort of, like, religious or spiritual awakening. Like, the last time Jupiter was in Pisces, well, that was in 2012, and then the time before that, which was in 1998, which is when the Richard Ramirez thing was a thing, you know? Richard Ramirez was a serial killer, and there was, like, Marilyn Manson. It was, like, the Satanic Panic is what they started calling that time period. Oh my and that's gosh. When Jupiter was in Pisces. So there's always this sort of, like, otherworldly nature when Jupiter enters that sign of Pisces is this sort of, like, what is beyond the veil and how can I get there and what sort of things can bring me there, which is kind of, like, why drugs and stuff kind of correlate with that as well, I think.
I mean, that seems really dark, though, the Satanic Awakening. Like, I feel like that wasn't a time of expansion for people.
Well, expansion doesn't have, like, a good or bad. Like, there really isn't any good or bad. It's just how it manifests.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think this time around, it's definitely about astrology because people are kind of finding themselves and, like, can find an identity within it, you know, because we are kind of very egocentric people.
I mean, astrology has become huge. Selfies.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I remember the first time I saw someone had their sun, moon, and rising in their bio on Twitter. And I think I was in high school and I was like, I was like, what is that? You know, like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. I found astrology when I was just like scrolling through Tumblr when I was like in the fifth grade.
I think it's also because, you know, as humans, like, I think it goes back to the biological nature we were talking about for people to like put things in boxes and put things in categories and be like, this is good, this is bad, and like I think a lot of conversations around identities have become, like, really heated and really, like,
polarizing.
Yeah, polarizing. But, you know, you can be like, I hate Aries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that you should be hating anyone, but, you know.
Yeah. Hate is a very weird feeling.
Have you ever hated?
I've hated people before. I don't anymore. I feel like hate for me, though, is, like, such a transient emotion. Like, it lasts, like, 3 seconds where I'm like, ugh, and then I'm like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I just
because it, like, weighs on your soul if you hate something.
Yeah, it's the... I don't want to say it's, like, the most potent karmic creditor in Buddhism. Like, any action you take out of hate has, like, really extreme karma. But I do think that, like, when you're experiencing that, you need to release it, like, instantly. You can't let that, like, calcify inside your body.
Yeah. It leaves plaques and makes you ugly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I felt hatred in arguments, like in like passionate arguments, I felt it. And I've had experiences with like managers and like sort of like upper level, lower level, where I've just been like, oh my God, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's the worst type of hatred when someone like has control over you.
Yeah, like power makes people crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's intoxicating.
Sarah, I've sort of been, like, going back and forth with this idea that, like, I want to know what you think of this. Like, people will take as much as they can, basically.
Is that it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, we both occupy, like, unique roles online. And it's not, I definitely, like, I don't want to, like, a lot of people are, like, really respectful of my boundaries and my time and my space and my privacy. And that's not what I mean. Like, I almost see it more in my interpersonal life, but, like, I feel like people want to get whatever they can get from you.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And that kind of brings me to like a hateful state also, but I just have to let that go because that's just like human nature is to like people who are like in a scarcity mindset, they like see an opportunity to like ask you something or like you're finally giving something towards them, so they like need to harp on that and just keep on getting or like keep on asking and yeah, taking, grabbing with their hands, stuff like that.
Yeah,
It's
scarcity
tough.
mindset is a good way to reference that, 'cause I mean it's a blanket statement, but like there was this girl I was close with at school, and then we stopped being close because I without saying too much, I mean she like basically like put me in a dynamic where I was like excluded from her group, and I think she had like expected me to like prove myself almost. This was a really long time ago, you know. I was like 18 when this happened, but I felt like I was like supposed to prove myself to this group that I was like worthy, and instead I was just sort of like, no, I'm not doing this, and like left. And she reached out to me recently, like I want to say in the past month. And I was really open to the interaction. We hadn't talked in a really long time. And then she did it again. It was so strange. It was like she like needed me to be that, you know what I mean? And it's like we don't go to school together. Like I don't talk, like I don't know, it was really interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting because you still have that memory of how she was. And obviously, people change. I mean, you can give them another chance and see how their energy is now because energy is constantly transforming just at like a cellular level. But yeah, I get what you mean. There's a lot of hidden emotions and hidden agendas that people have that are very self-serving, and it's you have to be very cautious of that as well. Because some people are going to take your energy and kind of like absorb it, and that's what we call an energy vampire.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely like been an energy vampire, like to you and Jan mostly. But like when I've been in like when you're in a bad spot, you know, you're in like a low vibration, you're like really like pinned down by like, you know, hateful attitude, like depressive attitude, whatever. The easiest thing to do is just to like latch on to another energy. Like a podcast, a video, an influencer, like your like friend who's gonna like offer you support, you know? And like what is truly gonna lift you out of that is like raising your own vibration within yourself, you know? But that is so hard to do. It's like the hardest thing. But it's what ultimately must be done for harm reduction.
Yeah, it's painful to take energy from yourself and fill yourself. But you just have to like imagine this like fountain that has an unlimited supply of water. And that's always being cleansed and filtered out because you have the best equipment in the world. Like that is your soul, that is your personality, that is your character. And when you get in those low like states, you really truly want to latch on to something that can give you that feeling.
Wait,
And
Sarah, go ahead, go ahead.
No, what were you gonna say?
Are we gonna run out of water?
Yes, by like 2050, there's gonna be water wars. There's gonna be people killing each other over water.
What are we
Trigger.
gonna do?
I think I honestly don't know. I don't know what people are gonna do. I don't know what the solution is. I think that there's another billionaire that's gonna come and save us.
I hope it's
I
my
mean that's
son.
maybe. You're definitely gonna have really interesting children, Saati.
Thank you so much.
They're gonna be like little carriers of a like a synth or something. You know?
I mean, I will say, I think I can say this, it's really good karma to be my child.
But yeah, water wars. It's kind of like coming to the point where it's like, can we even have children? Because will our children be able to survive without water in dying a climate that is too disruptive for human life? Like, there's so much unknown that we're walking into.
So, I have had conversations with God about this. And when I speak about God, I'm just sort of talking about like my innermost source, which I am like attentive to and like have a relationship with, because I spend a lot of time alone. But I believe that if I am given a child, like if I am given a pregnancy, I can only speak for myself. Like I will carry that out and like see that as my mission. To be a mother, like if that occurs, then it's a blessing, you know? And I also, I mean, I really think like at this time in my own life, I'm not called upon to be a mother. Like I have bigger fish to fry, you know, I have like lessons to learn. And I'm not sure it will happen, but if it does, like I'm gonna see it through, you know.
You're devoted to your unborn child.
I mean, people will always be having children. Like, the day before the sun explodes, babies will be born.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's sort of comforting.
It is that life is always an option, or life is always
I
something that
mean,
the universe will provide.
a healthy baby is such a gift, like to a family line, to a community. Like it makes everyone want to like show up, be better. Like it's hope, you know?
Yeah, it is hope. And it's interesting that so many people are having babies right now with Jupiter and Pisces, because that's kind of like a key word for that transit would be hope.
How long are we in this transit?
Only like 9 more days.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, Jupiter enters Aries on the 9th.
And what happens then?
And then more aggression comes out, more self-determination, more inner knowing, more religion that's focused on the self, and more like self-efficient tendencies. I don't know how to say that, but you know what I mean. There's just more objectifying who you are, focusing on, instead of like putting out towards the collective, people are going to be more kind of like shoveling into themselves rather than pouring out.
That sounds good.
Yeah, Jupiter in Aries is going to be really interesting because it's the sign of action, like complete action. And I feel like there is a lot of stagnancy, especially with all of like this Pisces energy that can be like wandering around, forming little whirlpools instead of like actually swimming to a destination.
I feel like Pisces is Johnny Depp and Aries is Elon Musk.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, that's perfect. Let's end there.
Okay.
Okay, bye guys. Love you.
Follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram at Mercurial Sarah and Satsi.
Yeah. Yeah.